Happy Mother's Day. You can't say, and to you too, I know. So it's kind of like, you're welcome. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms, both the biological and the spiritual mothers. And thank you as well for the beautiful gift of the grace, the beauty, and the strength you bring into your families, into our society, and into this world. And there's a beautiful feminine strength that the woman and that a mother brings into this world. My mom has a strength that my dad doesn't have. They're both very strong people. But there's a fierce strength that my mom has and that all women and mothers have, which men do not have. And it's a graceful, and it's a beautiful, and it's a fierce strength. And so thank you to the mothers for bringing that into your families and into our world. And we turn to our mother, whom Jesus gave us as well, who was the first really to show us the grace, the beauty, and the strength of motherhood. It's Mary who we turn to. This whole month of May is dedicated to Mary. It's a month in which, in a particular way, we turn to her and we ask for her prayers for us. We turn to her and it's under her protection, under her strength that we turn to and depend on. The bulletin this week, you'll see one of the most ancient Christian prayers that we know of. It's the most ancient prayer to our mother. It's called Subtuum Praesidium. Under your protection. That under the protection of Mary and under her strength, we turn. And we turn, especially in this time, to her. Because Mary, especially Mary, Our Lady of Guadalupe, she's the patroness of the Americas, she's the patroness of mothers, and she's the patroness of the unborn. So we turn to her and we seek her strength. And when we do this, we're not doing something unique either. This hymn, Subtuum Praesidium, goes back at least to 250 AD in the early church. And it was a prayer that the ancient Christians would pray, and it was prayed during the persecution of Decius, during a time in which it was an intense struggle for the Christians, and they would turn to Mary to be strengthened in their faith. They would turn to her to be assured of the presence of God in their midst. And this was something that even the generations before, after Jesus had resurrected and after he had ascended into heaven, and the church was young, and the apostles were still alive, when their faith would waver, which remember, every one of the apostles, they were fallen men. The first disciples, the men and women who followed Jesus, they were fallen men and women. In the early church, when their faith would waver, they would turn to Mary. They would turn to her because a mother has an intuition about the presence of her children. Mary carried Jesus for 9 months in her womb, and she carried him for many years after that as well. And a mother knows the presence of her child. And so what was it that caused the faith to waver, even in the early church, even in those who had seen and touched with their own hands the risen Lord? What causes our faith to waver is not sensing, not experiencing the presence of God with them. And so they would turn to Mary because it was Mary who is unfallen and who knows the presence of her son who would point them and be this source of strength for them that Jesus is with us. He is guiding us. It's the source of all of our devotion to Mary because she knows the presence of her son. When we forget that, when we can't see it, when we can't hear his voice, we're able to turn to her and have our faith strengthened. And so the prayer, sub tuum praesidium, we turn to her protection. This was something which gave strength, as we hear in the first reading, to Paul and Barnabas to proclaim the gospel. And this inner drive within them to want to go out and to proclaim to the whole world that he is alive and he is risen. Because he was with them. Their desire for others to be able to have their eyes opened, to have their blindness cast aside, to be able to see him alive and with them. It's what gave the martyrs who we hear of in this reading from Revelation, it's what gave them strength to lay down their lives because they knew that God was with them. And not just in some distant, abstract way, but in a way that we hear about in the gospel. That Jesus was so intimately with them that they were in the hand of God at all times. And the strength of God, which nothing can remove one from the hand of God. Nothing external. There's only one thing that can. There's only one thing that God will allow us to be removed from the hand of God by. And that's our own choice. That's our will. Because he won't force us to love him. He won't force us to follow him. He won't force us to turn to him. But when we place ourselves in his hands, nothing can remove us from that. And that's how intimately close he is with us. That we're in the hand of God. It's what gave the apostles strength. It's what gave all the martyrs strength. And when we forget that, when our faith is shaken and we forget that, God and our faith become something distant. We become distracted and we become discouraged. Distant, distracted, and discouraged. So I can ask you a couple questions, which I ask myself and I fail every one of them. So some of you can't do worse. In your day-to-day life, does God feel distant? Is prayer some goofy thing where God is way out there and prayer is I have to like branch that divide and get him to come and help me? It's so ridiculous. It's so pagan. That God is up there and my prayer has to somehow convince him to come down and be with me and help me in this thing. Or do I experience a real closeness and intimacy with God in the midst of prayer? That prayer is the grace of God so that I'm able to recognize him with me in the midst of whatever it is. Do I experience a closeness with God in the sacraments and even in my suffering? Do I get distracted really easy? Where I become a prisoner of the moment, where the world or the evil one at all times throughout my days and weeks and months is like, oh, look at this thing. Look at this thing that's happening right now. Oh, what's going to happen with that? Oh, look at that. Look at that. A couple weeks later, our attention's distracted to something else. And the world and the evil one is just pointing to one thing to the next. And where do we become? We become filled with all this anxiety. Look at this, look at that. The evil one's like, oh, I got another one. And then he points to something else. Where the Lord instead simply says, look at me. Look at me. It's like Peter walking on the water to the Lord in the midst of the storm. Look at me. If you keep your attention focused on me, nothing of this storm will cause any inner fear. Look at me. Listen for my voice. Look in your life. Look back in your life. You can see where the hand of God has guided you, where God's providence has worked in your life. And if you can begin to see that, you can see more clearly how the hand of God is at work in your life even now, amidst the joys, amidst the sorrows, all of it. We're not living distracted, but we're living where we're focused on the Lord. Or the last one, because if God seems distant and I live this distracted life, what happens? I become discouraged. I become discouraged in my faith. The evil one, in the book The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis, the evil one writes to one of his little minion demons. He's like, the better way to attack faith is not all at once with one blow. It's little by little, you chip away at it, you chip away at it. Do I experience that happening in my faith? Where I become discouraged by things? And where it becomes where even the thought of prayer or turning to God in prayer is like, ugh. Going to Mass. Father Shea won't quit already. Just this weight, everything in my faith becomes heavy and it becomes burdensome. Or do I experience my faith as the rock that it is? And the Lord, the Good Shepherd, is the one who refreshes me, who says, come to me, all you who are weary and find life burdensome, and I will give you refreshment. Where God truly, and I live this and I experience it, God's the one in control. And I'm within his hands. And that gives me a confidence, and it gives me a strength, and it gives me a peace that the world cannot give. It's the presence of the Lord. That's what gives us the grace to not be distant, distracted, and discouraged. You know what the spirituality of the early church looked like? The spirituality of the early church, those earliest apostles and followers of Jesus, was very simple. It was about the presence of God, the real presence of God in their midst. He is risen, he is alive, and he is with us. He's alive and he's with us. And when their faith wavered, they would look to their mother, who would be able to point them to his presence with them. And that's the same for us as well. Sub tuum presidium. We fly to thy protection, O Holy Mother of God. Do not despise our petitions and our needs, but deliver us always from all dangers, O pure and blessed Virgin. Or you know the prayer, this 18-century-old prayer in its modern form. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of virgins, my mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen.